in the name of Christ our Savior. How many sermons do you figure you've heard or preached on Elisha? I suspect a survey of all of us in attendance here would find about as many sermons on Elisha total as we have guitars and tambourines up in the balcony. And as you may have been wondering as you were listening to the lesson, what handles have we got here for a sermon? Given contrary words from St. James, we really can't turn into precedent Elisha's happy situation of having a room all set up just for himself with by his wealthy hostess, a private room, and the way it's described, maybe with a private entrance, and I bet he wasn't just eating locusts and honey either. Nor in our Lutheran rubrics do we have liturgical place for what seems like a sort of a bizarre way of bringing back to life this dead body that was out there. One thing that does catch the eye, however, is the interesting interchange between Elisha and his servant and the hostess. In proper Eastern fashion, Elisha wants to express in concrete ways his gratitude for her graciousness and her provisions. And after a few dead ends, he asks his servant's advice, what then may be done for her? And Gehazi answers, well, she has no son, and her husband is old. Don't know how old she was, but her husband is old. And so Elisha, with a lot more boldness than I have, turns to her and says, in due time, what do you figure, 9 months, a year, whatever, in due time you will embrace a son. Now, I think what's really interesting is her response to this rather audacious and somewhat tantalizing offer. She says, do not deceive your servant. Don't play games with your servant. Don't play with the open wounds of your servant's heart. Don't make frivolous promises. And of course, she's right. After a person prays fervently for years, and I would imagine in her case for decades, without an answer, a person eventually gets the message that maybe you're praying for the wrong thing, and you sort of adjust your prayer downward, sometimes at the cost of a living hope. Sometimes you go through life carrying the scab of a lost hope. I suspect, like many of the characters of the scripture, that had this woman chosen of herself a place to live that would express the kind of feeling that she's just expressing here, obviously she would have chosen to live in the great state of Missouri, the show-me state. Like Sarah and Abraham, when they had the very unlikely, even laughable prospect of a son promised to them. In Frederick Buchner's felicitous phrase, at the thought of dipping into their old age pensions to buy a crib, the thought of submitting their obstetrician and pediatric bills to Medicare, I don't think so. Like Zechariah, in the New Testament, surprised speechless when he was hopeless. As precious as the gift of life is, and as precious as the gift of joy and a future are, we don't play games with that. We don't play games with ourselves. You and I know better than that. We don't play games with other people either, mocking them with what they don't have or teasing them with what we can't deliver, and people who live on false hopes are fools. All of which points us to the fact that, however, it is God who is the one who can deliver. It is God who does deliver. And for this woman, in fact, delivers twice, right? Gave her the son that she didn't have, and then when he died, gave her her son back once more. And for Sarah and Abraham, the same, gave them the son they thought they would never have, and gave Isaac back to Abraham on the mountain, and gave the gift of a son to Zechariah. I guess we can say that God's in the business of giving sons. And daughters too. It's just that in this case, the focus is on the sons because each of those gifts points ahead to the one, when you say the word son, you capitalize it. The son of Mary. That was unexpected. The son of man. The Son of God, the Son who died, like this fellow here, the Son who died and was called back from death, the Son whose life took the gifts of life and joy and a future far beyond anything Elisha had in mind, took them to the level of the ultimate and the primal and the cosmic and the eternal. And when this Son, capital S, emerged from the grave, he produced more than the seven sneezes that Elisha got out of his young fellow. This one breathed on his own, breathed on his disciples, breathed life, breathed the gift of his spirit, breathed the gift of the life and the presence of God himself forever. The point, in other words, is not Elisha. The point is not the woman. The point is God, who has always brought life from nothing, who has always brought life from death. This son's life, his son's life, your life, my life. And not just sons, daughters and sons as well. From our nothing and from our death, God calls us and sends us. Not to play games with people, not to mock people for what they don't have, not to embarrass people, not to tease people with tantalizing but empty promises. He extends his life through us as well. Welcome to the world of Elisha. In the name of our Lord.